Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosts Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Leiba, and producer Elvin Freites bring you the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. We explore innovations, ideas, and issues in higher education and beyond, and hopefully have a little fun along the way. Now let's get to it.
Hey everyone, this is Liz, and I'm thrilled to announce the launch of the Black History and Culture Academy in collaboration with the EdUp Experience. Here at the EdUp Experience, our goal is to inspire and educate people to pursue a lifelong learning mindset, no matter the path they choose. That aligns perfectly with the Black History and Culture Academy, where our mission is to educate and empower individuals seeking a foundational knowledge in Black history in a subscription-based unlimited access online program with 20 plus courses designed by me. So for more information, head on over to www.blackhistoryculturacademy.com. That's www.blackhistoryculturacademy.com. Can't wait to see you in class.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business, interviewing the brightest and most influential minds in higher education. Today, I stress influential because I have, in this special EdUp Embedded bonus episode, one very influential guest. Influential for a couple of reasons. Number one, she's already influenced me and we haven't known each other that long, but she is so dynamic that you need to know her. Let me just say, she's one of these people you need to know right away when you meet her. You go, wait, I need to know this person. And she is leading one heck of a company right now in the Eastern United States. And her name is Lisa Honecker. And she's amazing. And she is the managing director of sales for the Eastern United States for FedEx Office. Lisa, welcome to the EdUp Experience.
Joe, thank you so much. And you know, that's a very humbling introduction, but I feel the exact same. And it's so funny that circumstances can bring two professionals together, and there's just immediately that chemistry and just that desire to continue. So even in our first webinar together, I almost said podcast, but it was actually a webinar. Mm-hmm. My interest and curiosity of the EdUp product and the EdUp experience just exploded. And I've shared it with my region. Everybody has been working to understand all the dynamics going on in higher education now coming out, knock on wood, of COVID and seeing where the next chapter takes us in higher education.
Well, I'll tell you what, that webinar we did together was a lot of fun. And whenever you, and a lot of our audience knows this because a lot of presidents and stuff, they do webinars all the time. And if you end up getting on a webinar with somebody that you don't kind of jive with, it's really difficult to kick it back and forth and to have that conversation. But you and I, it was very natural. And so I said, immediately, I got to have you on the podcast because your knowledge of the higher ed space is vast. And FedEx Office has a long history with higher education and the consultative approach and products, service, and sales. Give me a little bit of a background on how FedEx Office has evolved over time to serve higher education. And that's the second question, is how, you know, the coronavirus and how the pandemic changed that model even further.
Okay, let's start with the million-dollar question right at the front.
That's the way we like to roll over here at the
EdUp. You know, we don't have any time to waste here. Yeah. So I think it bears stating that our roots in higher education go back 50 years. So literally almost half a century when Kinko's was founded on a college campus, and it was founded to serve unmet needs on that particular campus. When we were acquired by FedEx in the early 2000s, you know, culture doesn't break easily. And mm-hmm. our customer ties within the higher education segment are run very, very, very deep. In fact, our stores have store numbers to identify them, much like any retailer. And those single digit stores or those first 100 or 200 stores, they are all on college campuses. And that's because that's how our business model grew. We grew to serve in the course pack area and ended up transitioning that to serve the whole university and anything that a university would need to communicate to its audience, to bring value to the diverse stakeholder group that a university has.
Let me interrupt you and ask you, when you say our, and were you with Kinko's way back in the day, and were you part of the acquisition?
I was, Joe. In fact, I say often I have grown up within this organization. I started when I was 23 years old here.
Wow.
So that was a really long time. But yeah, in fact, I joined Kinko's at the time when we were flipping from getting out of that course pack professor publishing era into a different way to serve our universities. So that's when I started.
Well, it's funny because you know, I go through LinkedIn profiles and your FedEx office, you've been there for 28 years and 4 months. And then I'm scrambling going, wait a minute, my memory is leaving me quickly because I don't remember FedEx office being around for almost 30 years. Now it's making a lot of sense that was part of the evolution. And so now here you are managing the Eastern United States for sales, which that doesn't sound like a small job. It sounds like a very big job for a very big personality. So you're doing well. What is that looking like right now? I mean, you know, we talked in our webinar about, you know, solutions and partners and expense savings and all of these different areas where a good partner can make a big difference. And coronavirus took a lot of partnerships and disrupted partnerships. It disrupted education. It disrupted how we look at education. It disrupted a lot of how companies need to operate to serve higher ed. What is that? And I'm re-asking you just so you don't forget, because I already forgot what I asked you the first time, but that's part of my job here as a host, is to forget and have the guests look better. And then I do. But what is that looking like for you guys now? How's FedEx Office evolving through this change?
I think the name of the game for everybody, regardless of the vertical market that you serve within, is agility. And, you know, we all saw higher education, who hasn't historically been known to be an agile entity, become very agile and A/B test a lot of things, double down on technology, keep their primary mission front and center, which is delivering education, no matter how that is delivered to its customer base. And from a business perspective, FedEx, FedEx Office, and many other partners to higher education also became very agile to serve the changing needs of the student population and the educators in there. There was a very interesting story that I read about how in a lot of cases in the realm of technology, how the students became the professors and were teaching their professors how to use that technology in a way that was very meaningful and impactful to deliver that educational content. Okay, another very, very powerful question there.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the compliment. Is that a compliment, Lisa?
Joe, all my words to you are compliments.
You're my best friend.
Well, see aforementioned opening. All right, so cost savings is so fascinating, right? Because I shared with you when we were waiting here to go live on the podcast that We in the Honecker household may have made a decision that wasn't the best, and we went with a less expensive option for our heating and cooling unit, and have gone without air conditioning for now almost 24 hours, and it's 95 degrees here and what feels like 2 million percent humidity. So cost decisions are very interesting, because you need to take more factors into account than just the sticker price. And so how this translates to universities, and I've experienced this a lot. Sometimes when you are looking to outsource, the sticker price seems more expensive. But when you take into account everything that gets rolled up into that, and then the longer term impact, i.e. uptime, downtime, servicing, delighting your customers, what does customer service look like? And yes, I am also channeling my personal situation going on in tandem with what I've experienced in higher education for 28 years. You have to take all of those pieces into account. And if I were to offer one challenge to our higher education business partners, that would be the challenge. Is it's not just about the sticker price. It is, how do you stay relevant and serve your customers, i.e. the students, and oh, by the way, their parents, in a way that is meaningful and what they expect, not just now coming out of COVID, but what they expected before COVID. And then how can you repurpose those dollars into more meaningful channels that bring value to your faculty, to your staff, and ultimately to your brand. And so some areas that we play in relative to FedEx Office fall into parcel management and your print operations. So that can sometimes be a sacred cow for our university partners. And typically it's because it's the way that they've always done things, and a perception that outsourcing is more expensive. And in a lot of universities, there is a heavy labor component involved in both of those deliverables, both parcel and print. And then, and I can certainly understand this, then what do you do with those people? Because you don't want to lay off people. And in most institutions, you do have significant benefits wrapped up in there and all those different kinds of things. But here's the deal. You've also held on to that operation for a really long time. And a lot of those people are close to retiring. And maybe, just maybe, you're giving them a gift by, you know, liberating them and allowing them to retire. I don't think I've ever heard of one person who said, oh my gosh, I'm so sad I retired when I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, someone liberate me immediately.
Thank you. So, you know, I think that that is one piece. But again, when you think about how students want to be served, how parents expect their kids to be served, nowadays, it's very different. And the parcel piece is a huge component into that. And with students having been locked down for at least 9 months and you know, for many, it was the full 15. They ordered everything on Amazon or Postmates or Uber Eats and all these different kinds of things. They expect that immediacy. So when packages get shipped to the university mailroom and sit there over the weekend because it's not staffed, or it comes in late at night and then maybe it got lost, like those things are just, they're not options anymore. They're not okay. They disrupt the customer experience. And again, the customer for higher education are students and their parents. So looking at a partner to streamline time, the way that those pieces get delivered is significant. Flipping over to, you know, other channels are, how do universities reel back the alumni? The alumni are so critical to a university's lifeblood. They are an extension, a lifelong extension of the brand, obviously an extension of continuous funding, all those different sorts of things. So how do you keep reaching the alumni in new and meaningful ways? And that's at the tail end of the life cycle, if you will. And then at the beginning, and we talked about this on the webinar, how are you reaching students in new and meaningful ways? And yes, we are going back to in-person events. And so, you know, college recruiting on high school campuses, that'll probably start back up in some different ways. But I'll tell you, Joe, the creativity that came out of a lot of universities in their recruitment efforts, both to students and student athletes, I don't think you can let that, put that genie back in the bottle. The creative, in the box, personalized things that were sent to students all over that spoke to their passions, that spoke to their interests, those were hooks that I don't think that students are going to want to trade back to go to some tabling event in the high school cafeteria and be one of, you know, 40 other people in the lunchroom talking to somebody. When they get their box at home and it says, you know, Lisa, Auburn University wants you, War Eagle, and it has all my orange and blue stuff, and maybe it speaks to the sports that I like or the clubs that I like. I don't want to trade that for, you know, my good friend Susie chatting me up in the lunchroom. No, no thanks.
Hey everyone, this is Joe, just reminding you to check out our website at www.edupexperience.com, where you can find and explore all of the content that we've released under the EdUp Experience brand, including multiple podcast series, EdUp Elites, EdUp Embedded, and EdUp Experts. You can also suggest topics or guests for our podcast. Then head over to YouTube, check out our channel, The EdUp Experience, and you're going to find that my amazing co-host, Elizabeth Leiba, has started a new web series called EdUp Unplugged, where she talks about racism in America with special guests coming on that web series. We've got a lot going on at the EdUp Experience. Again, check out our website at www.edupexperience.com. Now let's get back to our guest.
True. I mean, you know, one of the most important things that we can take away, I think, from the disruption amidst coronavirus or as a result of coronavirus, is people like to buy boxes online and have boxes shipped to them, like Amazon and DoorDash. And I've said this a million times. And if you're a college or university and you have a digital native, especially if you're talking about what we would consider the traditional age student who's thinking about going to a college or university, that the power of sending something personalized and having something unboxed. I mean, the entire point of an unboxing video that people take on TikTok is because there's excitement around unboxing something. If you can be that embedded, if you can send a package to a student and be that personalized that they are gonna social media out that moment, now that's true organic branding and marketing that comes as a result of an initial partner like FedEx Office that's from shipping and packaging and shipping. All those things matter in an acquisition cost. And that's one of the things that we miss in higher ed, is that all of those are part of an acquisition cost and you can't look at them separately. You have to look at them together and say, are they all working together to acquire a student? And acquisition, whether you like it or not in higher education, some people go, acquisition, I'm not really trying to acquire the student. I want them to come here. Well, no, if you're in higher ed right now and you want to be competitive, you need to go acquire a student. There's no such thing anymore as passive recruitment unless you're sitting in an elite university with $1 million, $1 billion endowment. You've got to be active. And in order to be active, you have to look at innovative ways to get in front of a student, right? And FedEx Office is a company that can help you do that. And the reason I'm so passionate about what you do, Lisa, is because I believe in people. And like I said, when we met, I said, there's somebody that would be a great partner to a college or university. You're leading this really big infrastructure, and you're extending your business throughout higher education in an area that we need to continually evolve. One of those, I'm getting to my question. This is my long build-ups, Lisa, I apologize. They take a long time sometimes.
You're great.
Security, and I don't expect you to get technical, but security and student data, names, social security numbers, addresses, all of those things have to be protected now. There's something called the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. If you've gone through an audit lately, as I have at my university, the auditors are asking you specifically for your technology infrastructure security to protect student data. And there's something called GDPR for those that are doing anything internationally where you have to protect, is the Great Britain technology protections. That's big in Europe and in the European Union now. How does FedEx Office, or does FedEx Office talk about security of student data all the time?
Okay. So this is an excellent, again, intersection to where business and higher education cross over, but business was ahead of this. So one of the two of the verticals that we serve that fall squarely in this space are the financial and healthcare verticals that obviously are talking about PII and PHI in those two spaces. And FedEx has been on the forefront of all of those things, and not just in coronavirus, you know, timeframe here, but way prior to that, has coronavirus amplified all of that with everybody working from home? And then, you know, once you're not on the company's IT system, what sort of breaches can occur? I will tell you, at FedEx, we get nightly security patches pushed through our laptops just to be uber secure. So you've got all the financial firms, all the healthcare organizations focused on exactly this. So those InfoSec concerns have always been front and center and part of the brand. For a brand like FedEx, that is one of the most trusted brands in the globe, if we are not protecting people's data and people's privacy and information, we could never be have those accolades consistently year over year over year. So that is an area actually that we could bring some value, some thought leadership, some innovation to our higher education partners, because we've walked this path for years and years.
Well said. And you know, I bet, Lisa, that given the time, you and I could probably talk for 8 hours straight. You like to talk, I like to talk, we have a lot to talk about, but alas, we can't do that, because then nobody will ever listen to this episode if it goes past about 35 or 40 minutes, right? Because they tune out and move on to something else. So we wanna make sure we maximize your time and obviously managing the entirety. By the way, and this is my personal opinion, that Lisa should be managing the entire United States. How are you only doing the Eastern Seaboard? I'll tell you what, that's something I'll have to bring to the board at FedEx Office next time I'm at the board meeting, Lisa. But we, as we move forward, we have two final questions to you. Number one, what did we miss about FedEx Office that you'd like to say? Anything that you want to talk about, whether it's initiatives, anything at all? And then number two, what do you think the future of higher education looks like?
Okay. So first of all, you're so silly about the Eastern. I have to tell you, I have an incredible business partner on the West. He is my yin. I am his yang. It works out really, really well. And I'm really grateful for him all day, every day.
Good for you. Good save for my horrible statement. But I have to say, having a great team member is key to running successful business, right? It's all about team. In the end, and in partnerships.
Yes, for sure. So what do I wish that we would have talked about but didn't? What I would say is FedEx Office can bring a tremendous amount of value to our higher education partners in lots of different areas. So it can be in those very service heavy spaces in the print operations and the parcel operations. But shifting over to the less heavy areas being, again, how do you reach your customer base? What kinds of creative things have we seen in the private sector that we could bring? So that ideation, creative brainstorming, those sorts of things where maybe a higher education partner doesn't have that marketing depth within their own organization, we can bring that to the table. We have had some of our my marketing peers join roundtables, join brainstorming sessions to come up with ideas. We've done that with some of our commercial customers as well. We did a huge marketing campaign for a big retailer where the idea for their strategy came from our team members. So it's truly like, let's do some brain melding here and figure out where we can come up with some really creative solutions to either attract and retain students or retain your alumni and anything in between, including engaging with your students while they're on campus. And so that's just a cool outtake that I read at some point. But I think that even just that story really is a big piece of what has happened over the last 15-ish months with higher education and the business sector. Is historically, higher education has very much looked inward. The word institution is not just a noun, but a way of how they operated. And right at the maybe at the beginning of COVID, maybe in the couple years preceding that, you saw a few universities, colleges start looking outward, start looking how to optimize things because the cost of higher education was going through the roof. People were starting to question the return on investment on it. So you have these really big factors, and the way that you've done it can't be the way that you continue to do it. Definition of insanity. So you did start seeing some institutions look outward. What coronavirus brought higher education is almost a survival skill that you need to in order to survive. And I think there's things that business learned from higher education, as well as higher education was willing to be more open to what business had to bring to bear. And so right now, coming out of it, you have these two entities that for maybe the first time in a really, really long time, and I'm talking decades, have this opportunity to learn from each other, because I think that it would be hard to argue higher education did not embody the entire word of agility. I mean, the pivots that they had from the spring, then how are they planning in the fall, in the summer last year for the fall? Where was it going to be in person? Was it going to be virtual? And it was literally going down to the day for some colleges and universities. And then even in my own backyard, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, they rolled the dice. They said, come on back, we're open for business. And 2 weeks later, everybody sent packing. Yeah. But again, like, even though that was yucky at the time, and it was certainly yucky in the community that I live in, that is classic agility. You try something, didn't work, cut bait, you learn again, and you continue to level up. So the spring got better. And now, as every college and university is in the throes of getting ready to welcome kids back to school, they're on really solid footing right now. And I think that everything that higher education learned over the last 15 months prepared them for this moment.
So FedEx as a company, it's like, I don't know, it's market cap, something like $80 billion or some sanity. It's a huge, massive company. FedEx Office, huge company. You've got like, what, 175 employees you're managing, Lisa. It's a massive organization. How does a company, and this isn't a trick question. This is really pulling from your insight of you're in business and industry versus you're in higher education, right? You're not working for a school. You're not working for a college. You're a business that serves colleges and universities. Those businesses and the way they look at higher education is one of the most important things that we can bring to light because of the dusty nature of higher education. It's adverse to change. And then, yes, we were agile. But when you get in a room with your peers and your leadership team or your senior leadership team or the whoever's running the company, the boards, whatever really high level leadership teams you're on, and you're talking about higher education, what is the sense? Like, is there it's higher ed and yeah, we've got to deal with these people in higher ed. Is it more excitement about what the future of higher education looks like? Is it, I'm kind of putting words in your mouth, but I want to understand how outside business and industry look at higher ed and what they think about us in general.
Okay, so I love that question. I'm very passionate about that question, and I can only speak for the company that I serve. Sure. Although my husband works for Lenovo, which is obviously a big partner to higher education. So I can maybe talk from a couple of different perspectives. Higher education, even when they're looking inward and maybe not the best strategy. Right. So let's just call those maybe the darker days. At the end of the day, higher education is the bedrock of where my future team members are going to come from, where the future workforce is going. So if businesses don't lean into higher education and what they're doing, and they don't keep their ear to the ground, their eyes and knowledge base continuing to grow, then how do you understand who your future workforce is going to be? And I think that, again, we've got all this change around us. So, whether you're talking about the quote unquote great resignation and what does that look like? Well, we still have seats to fill. We still have vacancies. And so as businesses lose employees to the great resignation, you still got to backfill them from somewhere. You still have to serve your customer base and go to market. And you have a business model that includes X number of team members and whatever that looks like. So understanding how higher education is teaching this future workforce, what they are teaching. So you've got colleges and universities that are morphing from particular curriculum, maybe that they've held on to for decades and maybe don't see it as relevant. So again, I think that we're in this really unique time where the intersection of business and higher education is more important than it's ever been, most certainly in my lifetime. When I grew up, you just went to college and that's what you did and all those kind of things. But that's when there wasn't this just unbelievable global change that we are all going through. And so keeping your eyes and ears open all the time helps us as business leaders understand how to navigate what is ahead. So whether we are looking on growing our business or we're looking at growing our team, that's that internal, external customer base that you've got. Higher education is wrapped all up around that.
So, okay. So this outside perspective, you're talking about, one of the things that's happening, and you're well aware of this because I know we spoke about this when we met the first time on our webinar, is this value of a college degree. And I ask a lot of people about this, and someone gave me feedback recently. Find this funny, Lisa. Someone that I know gave me feedback, but you always ask this same couple of questions, and I'm like, but they're so important to find out. If you're a college or university, you want to find out what people really think about the value of a college degree. So that changes your entire way you operate once you understand that, and how you differentiate and how you crystallize your brand. How does FedEx look at the value of a college degree? And you're seeing that as an employer, right? You are employing as a leader, 175 people within your organization of sales. How do you value education, or do you value education? I mean, that's kind of a trick question, isn't it? That's a poor one. Poor question there. Of course we value education, but to what degree? And what do you say in this argument? Need a college degree, don't need a college degree, it makes a difference, doesn't make a difference. How do you view it?
Okay, so when we bring people on board, we are definitely looking for a college degree for most roles. Now we are, you know, we're kind of two personas at FedEx Office. We are clearly a national retailer with over 2,000 locations, coast to coast, but then we have this significant commercial sales organization that serves our higher education customers, among others. So throughout that, our workforce is very diverse, and some roles are college degreed and some are not. Within the sales organization, we are most certainly looking for a college degree. And here's what drives that, Joe. It is the critical thinking skills. It is time management. It is networking. It's working. It's collaborative groups. It's all of those, let's call them soft skills, that you learn in a college environment. I mean, you have group projects, you have the capstone deliverables, you have the big poster communications that you need to do. You need to navigate how to make new friend groups. You need to network with your professors, you know, oftentimes to get that letter of recommendation for med school. And how do you do that? Because you brought value to their class. You participated in their class. You participated in research projects. All those different kinds of things, those directly translate to business that I can't train. So, you know, I can train you on sell. I can train you on Salesforce.com. I can train you on how to use Outlook and anything in between there. Those are things, but when you have a college degree, you have had those experiences that roll up under those soft skills that become very, very valuable and translate to success in business.
Well said. It's such a divisive topic now, and it's you said soft skills, and it's funny because anybody who calls them that now, it's like no, they're not soft. Now they're the hard skills, right? They're the essential workplace competencies. They're the 21st century leadership skills that we used to every single one of us has said soft skills. I still do. But now it's like you flip that up and you go, wait a minute, these are the things that are human. These are the things that are anti-automation skills. They're the thing the robot can't do 20 years from now in the job that doesn't exist right now, right? So they're so important to craft yourself as a person and your human skills, especially in this global marketplace we live in now. And you would know about that global marketplace as much as anyone, that there's cultural sensitivities, and we have to be human with one another and have mindfulness and respect. That's such a key point that you make. And now FedEx Office is becoming embedded in colleges and universities across the nation. And, we talked about this. I actually said this on our webinar, Lisa. I said, you can't do it without great partners. one of the reasons I said that is because, as you know, colleges and universities are experiencing some enrollment decline across the board, especially in community colleges, but private schools. It's literally the only schools that are enrollment decline are the Ivies, who are now seeing increases because they dropped testing and everybody and their brother's applying there just to see if they can get in. So other than that, colleges and universities are looking at ways to save. They're looking at processes, they're looking at efficiencies, they're looking at accessibilities and security and how to customize and how to be sustainable. All of these things can add up. But if you've got different partners doing different things, those costs really add up over time. Multiple vendors mean multiple costs, and then a single vendor means less cost. And you don't want to lay off people right now, because that hurts culture. So talk about how FedEx Office can consult through a consultative approach to help save me, a college administrator, dollars so that I can have more flexibility to keep my people and invest in them to grow my business again.
Regarding the second question, in terms of the future of higher education, I would say that it is very bright. And I may be of, not unpopular opinion, but maybe it's kind of a 50-50 camp right now as to what higher education is going to look like. But I think at the beginning of the pandemic, higher education had two paths: either transform and survive, or stay status quo and unfortunately not survive. And I think the question marks were pretty big right there at the beginning of the pandemic. Again, lots and lots of articles written on, can higher education survive this? Will there be a value to a degree coming out of this? All those different kinds of things. And again, a lot of those questions were being posed pre-pandemic. But what you saw in the last 15 months in regards to a shift from institutional focus to student focus, to treating the whole student wellness, mental health, pulling in so many global topics and making them relevant on college campuses, social equity issues, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We have seen all of that be jammed down the throats of higher education, and higher education be able to step up and respond in a way that was relevant and meaningful. And again, when you think about change, regardless of the institution that you serve, there's the book about strategy eats, or change eats cultures, whatever that is for breakfast.
I think it's called, For Breakfast. There you go.
Yes. So that book, that could have killed higher education or a chunk of higher education. And sure, there won't be a few that survive, but at the onset of this pandemic, I think the odds were really up against the wall on higher education. And you saw a just resounding response to the positive of, and again, doubling down on agility, doubling down on technology, professors being flexible and open, being passionate about serving the whole student, all of those different kinds of things that weren't present pre-pandemic. The higher education sector saw it, understood that it was a do or die moment, stepped up and said, we're not just going to do or die, we're going to thrive. And I believe coming out of COVID, you are going to see universities that hold on to that agility, hold on to how do we incorporate the reality of the world that we live in, of a diverse culture, of diversity of thought, diversity of people. How do we bring all of that ideation to bear? How do we bring our business partners to the table? Because, oh, by the way, that's part of diversity of thought. And how do we continue to be the very best that we can? Because that resilience is founded in that diversity.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been my honor today to talk with you, Lisa. I will say that between the two of us, we have one heck of a time scheduling it. You're very busy, I'm very busy, but I think that it paid off. All that perseverance of scheduling paid off to get your insights about higher ed in the future. And I really appreciate you very much. And I feel smarter and better off for knowing you. So here's that. There's a compliment for you.
Thank you, Joe. I feel the exact same. And yes, we definitely had scheduling conflicts. And at one point, I finally figured out that you were on the West Coast. So there you go. So there's the math on that. But I, too, am grateful for the opportunity to have started a relationship with you and continue. Everything that you publish on your podcast series helps me help my team get better and bring connections and insights to their customer base, which is yours and mine, shared customer base. We are here to serve higher education and do so in a meaningful way. So thank you for everything that you do to help us be smarter.
Well, thank you, Lisa. That's a great compliment. She's Lisa Honaker. You can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please do. It's linkedin.com/in/Lisa-Honaker. Or just look her up in the search bar, Lisa Honaker. Last name's H-O-N-A-K-E-R. Connect with her on LinkedIn ASAP. You will not be sorry. She has great content out there. Her name's Lisa Honaker, and she is Managing Director of Sales for the Eastern United States at FedEx office. Lisa, we'll talk to you soon.
Hey everybody, we hope you enjoyed that episode of the EdUp Experience. To learn more about the EdUp Experience, please visit our website at www.edupexperience.com and subscribe to our email list. Please share this podcast, head over to Apple, and please give us a rating and review. We appreciate your feedback. And of course, subscribe to the EdUp Experience so you're notified when our episodes drop. Here at the EdUp Experience, our goal is to make education your business. Thanks for listening.